The question of the day at J.P. Morgan, how big was the loss?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we're just 2 hours away from a big announcement from JP Morgan Chase. The bank will tell us how much money was made or lost last quarter, but the big headline number is sure to be the size of the trading loss the bank suffered because of the so-called London whale. Back when the loss came to light, JP Morgan said it was a $2 billion loss, but as our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports, that could be wishful thinking.
Since April, Wall Street analysts have been obsessed with the London trader who lost billions of dollars on a bad bet for JP Morgan. He's been called the London Whale. The ensuing spectacle has been like watching the Gregory Peck version of Moby Dick.
Do you smell it, lads, what the wind carries?
Mighty blow!
Today, JP Morgan is expected to disclose more about the size of that whale of a loss. Peter Cheer is a bond investor who's been following the drama. He has some guesses about what we'll hear.
This complex trade they had will probably wind up losing somewhere between $3 and $5 billion.
JP Morgan's stock has lost 25% of its value since the whale surfaced, and rumors started sweeping the market about the real size of that loss. After today, Cheer expects investors to stop freaking out.
Yeah, I think it's important because for once it can end some of the conjecture. What I'm looking for is that enough details come out that the stock's not going to move up and down a dollar on every London whale rumor.
JP Morgan has fired some of the executives who approved the trade and said that the bank will report a profit. Still, it may not find the next few months such smooth sailing. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Today, the rating agency Moody's downgraded Italy's credit rating. The move immediately sent Italian borrowing costs up and the euro currency down against the dollar. It's hovering at a two-year low of $1.22. Which means it might be time to take that trip to Europe you've been putting off. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Decades ago, summer in Western Europe used to be easily doable for middle-class Americans. But in recent years, the strong common currency jacked up the price, putting Paris and Rome out of reach for many. Beth Jenkins at McCabe World Travel says her clients went elsewhere.
Eastern Europe, South America, places where our currency is stronger.
Now that the euro is weaker,
we've seen people interested in Europe because they realize that their dollar can go farther.
Exchange rates like these have Jenkins ready to take off.
Well, it certainly makes me excited. It makes me want to go.
It's like a 13% discount from last summer. Frommers.com editorial director David Lytle says that savings can really enhance your trip.
You can jump to another city, you can splurge on a meal, or you can buy some luxury goods.
Or upgrade from hostel to hotel. So Europe's woes may save you from sharing a bathroom with a backpacker reeking of patchouli. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning in global trading. Singapore up 0.8%. Frankfurt is 0.7% higher, and London is up 0.5% right now. China said this morning its economy grew at a rate of 7.6% between April and June. That was in line with expectations, and it was the slowest growth in 3 years. And the world's largest airline, United, has ordered 150 new Boeing 737 airplanes. United says it will pay for the planes when they're delivered between next year and 2022. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 31 points to close at 12,573.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
In Santa Fe, New Mexico this weekend, artists from Afghanistan, South America, and everywhere in between are gathering for the world's largest folk art market. They're selling woven baskets and handmade silk scarves. And it's a chance for many struggling artists to make some much-needed money. But before they do that, they need a little business training. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler joins us this morning from Santa Fe with that part of the story. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So in addition to going to this market and selling their wares, it sounds like some of these artists need to get a little bit of a crash course in business.
Yeah, a lot of these artists don't have any formal education, so they need to start with the very basics. You know, it's sort of like one of those reality TV shows where fashion designers compete to try to get into a big department store. Huh. But in this case, the artisans have industry professionals who will work with them as mentors for the next year. People like Marilyn Kawakami. She's the former president of Ralph Lauren Women's Wear. She says it's a big jump from selling goods directly to a consumer.
It's another thing for a department store that gives a certain quantity in orders that they be delivered on time and in the right place. And that requires a level of expertise. And that is in part what this mentorship program that we're doing on is to identify who's ready for the next stage.
And Jeff, for those artists who are ready for the next stage, what kind of economic impact does this training have?
Well, this can absolutely change people's lives. I mean, most of these people are very poor, so the money from sales will help them do things like send their kids to school, buy medicine, get pure drinking water. And for women especially, it can be transformational. I spoke with Ragina Hamidi, who runs a company called Kandahar Treasure in Afghanistan. She describes the social impact for one of her workers.
She cried to me one day saying, before we started working with you, we would be invited to attend ceremonies, weddings, receptions in the communities as servants. Now that we have money and now that we are able to afford, you know, decent clothing, we are invited as guests.
Hamidi says the business training has helped her establish sort of a professionalism that has let her company land some big contracts with U.S. retailers.
What a difference a little business training makes. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler in Santa Fe, where the International Folk Art Market runs through Sunday. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
My pleasure.
And finally, to Greece, where you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who thinks the economic situation is good. But the Pew Research Center managed to do it. In a poll of 1,000 Greeks, 2% said the country has a good economic situation. 2% also think the country is headed in the right direction. The survey checked in with people in other countries as well, and the Chinese had the highest satisfaction with their national economy. 83% said it was good. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.